Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, do you have anything left in that cup? Can I have a sip?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's all evaporated. Okay, Patrick, did you enjoy the Van Halen feedback we got yesterday?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. Great hearing from Craig and Joe and Justin. Really nice. Thanks, guys.
Craig Rosen has some really good stories.
He really does.
I think we're going to hear some more.
I sure hope so.
Coming up based on some of the tweets we've gotten from him lately.
There's one particular one I really want to hear.
Good stuff. So keep that coming, Craig.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we got some more good stuff about the series of episodes we did on Van Halen about a month ago or so, where we, with our friend Kevin Spain, sort of went through the six David Lee Roth albums.
The big six.
Yes. And people really, really enjoyed that, which is great to hear. And so here's a good example of that. After we introduce ourselves, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
This is Rockin' the Suburbs. And here is an email from Tim Lucas. And Tim writes, "Good afternoon, Jim and Patrick. Tim from the Louisville, Kentucky suburbs, reaching out to say that I was so happy to see my week start off with a Van Halen podcast. Wait, even better, a week-long series of podcasts on the mighty Van Halen. I have long appreciated your podcast for introducing new types of music to me, but it is safe to say that back in the day, when you guys were exploring REM, The Cure, The Clash, etc., I was buried happily in a Van Halen rut. While I have absolutely worn out those first six Van Halen records, they still can, at the drop of a needle, take me back to a teenage Friday night with hidden beers in the trunk and absolutely no idea where or how the night would end. Some thoughts I wanted to share were, Diver Down was my first Van Halen record, and by the time Little Guitars was over, I was begging my parents for guitar lessons. Pretty sure there are 1.2 million kids out there who did the same thing. Van Halen brought the heaviness and the fun, something no one else had done pre-80s. If you put the Southern California surf and sunshine through a speaker, it would sound like Beautiful Girls of Van Halen 2. Fair warning, and many of the deeper cuts of the earlier albums are where the buried treasures are. While so many of their tunes have had their edges dulled by being overplayed on FM radio stations, those songs like Mean Streets, Fools, Hear About It Later, and DOA are monsters that still sound great today. These classic albums were as instrumental to my youth as soccer practice and Ted Drew's frozen custard, (parentheses) a St. Louis thing.
Okay.
Thanks for the good work you guys do every day, Tim." All right.
Thanks, Tim.
If there's some way to mail some frozen custard to us and keep it,
that'd be fantastic.
Frozen, we'll accept that.
Yeah.
Right?
Or if you want to send us out to St. Louis, we'll come out there and sample it. But yeah, and we'll hide some beers in your trunk. Happy to do that too.
No, I mean, he touches on some of the things we mentioned. That sort of taking you back to your youth was one. We talked about that a little bit. Those records definitely do that.
Coming through.
They were just so huge, and they just sort of were perfectly aimed at the people of that age and that era. And then the sort of the heaviness and the fun.
Yeah.
Another good theme.
You know, and I like the reference to California, too. You know, in some ways, the way in the 60s, the Beach Boys were kind of that, you know, golden West Coast dream. And in a different way, very different. Van Halen was the same thing.
Totally. So that was great. Really
well said, Tim.
Good points there. We love it when people sort of fill in the gaps.
I like it. And anytime anyone's using bullet points in their email, it's a good thing.
Yes. Makes it easier for us to read.
Right.
All right, we got a couple more calls about Van Halen.
I am ready.
Let's get to this one here.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. This is John Off from Bunker Hill, everyday listener. I wasn't going to call in, but listening to your shows on Van Halen kind of got me juiced up to go back and listen to some of my own and get a kind of a new appreciation for them. Kind of tell you how old I am. The first two albums came out during my last 2 years of college, and they were perfect party albums, like you said. You could put them on at a party, play them all the way through. Everybody loved all the songs on them, and they were great. And as far as my favorite song of that era, Dance the Night Away is by far my favorite song. It had all the Van Halen trademarks. Although I think you can probably kind of take Van Halen into three sections. That fun section, the section that I kind of listened to today that you were kind of talking about, the Fair Warning, Diver Down, and then 1984, which is my favorite Van Halen album. They kind of got, I don't want to say more mature, but like you said, they started to care more about, or at least Eddie did, care more about the actual craftsmanship of a song. My favorite song on that album by a wide margin is I'll Wait. Didn't have a lot of Eddie guitar, didn't have any squeaking David. It had keyboards, I think, by Michael McDonald, for God's sakes. And yet, it was a driving song and anti-misogynistic. You talked about how they had, and Hot for Teacher was on that album as well, so they ran the 180 from, talking about girls or women as objects to here's David pining over this unrequited love that he has for this model, I guess, that he can't even approach. I did some reading. I mean, that CD spent 5 weeks at number two, only to Thriller, which is understandable, but still a major accomplishment. And I read that David didn't even want this title or this track on the album at all, but Eddie pushed for it, and then I'll Wait went all the way up to 13 and became a hit. So two songs, Dance the Night Away and I'll Wait, almost 180 degrees, I know, but that kind of shows the Van Halen gambit from front to back. And then Van Hagar. Only time will tell if we stand the test of time. I can kind of take or leave. Totally different band, in my opinion, without David Lee Roth. So, sorry I'm late to the party. Just my 2 cents worth. I'll keep listening. Thanks, guys. You're doing a great job. Bye.
Always lovely to hear from John.
Yes.
Now, is Bunker Hill anywhere near Valparaiso? Because I believe Justin said he was in Valparaiso, Indiana. Is that right?
So Bunker Hill, Indiana, mm-hmm. is kind of in between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, up in the northern part of the state.
Okay.
Valparaiso is in the southern part of Indiana, if my geography.
Just trying to see if we could put together an Indiana tour.
If I remember my geography correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking. Da, 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 da.
Well, Tim's in Louisville. I guess we could hide some beers in the back of his trunk and then head up to Indiana and just drive around and see those guys.
Okay, I'm completely wrong on this.
Okay.
It wouldn't be the first time. Valparaiso is also in the northern part of the state.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, Valpo, as they call it, is over closer to like the northwest part of the state. So more, not really, kind of sort of like up getting closer to Gary in that area.
Okay.
But anyway, so there you go.
Yeah. I have no idea where that
is. Anyway.
Sorry about that.
I think I was mixing up Valparaiso with Evansville. Evansville's in the southern part.
Got
Indiana.
It.
But anyway.
Of course.
Where was I on this? I'll Wait. Here's the only thing I want to say about I'll Wait.
Okay.
I think as close as Van Halen comes to doing like an 80s power ballad kind of thing, right? You know, I kind of like that song, but I could see maybe where, and obviously John really does too, but yeah. I can see where maybe some people don't, that they might think it strays too far from sort of the you know, classic Van Halen hard rock kind of sound.
I can see that.
The Michael McDonald thing, I don't think he played keyboards. I think that's all Eddie playing the keyboard, but Michael McDonald did co-write the song.
That's what it was.
With Van Halen, yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only time that happened where they had an outside collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
And he also is right too, you know, that the lyrics, and it is kind of a funny thing, it's on the same album as some of these other things, that it's more of like a song, you know, where he's sort of pining for this woman who, you know, he can't have or like, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, it sort of takes some of the bravado out of Van Halen in some way, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Because what woman wouldn't want him?
That's right.
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
So, but he'll wait. He'll wait for her. I kind of doubt that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's get back to the phone machine. Hopefully it's okay. Not another call testing our geography.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, guys. This is Peter Bath. I've actually been listening to you since episode number 7 of your last podcast, the REM episode. First time, and I've thrown a few tweets your way, but the first time I've actually called in. So I wanted to touch base on my Van Halen story. First of all, the week was awesome. I loved going back and listening to the old albums. But before I get into that, I am going to say it's long overdue that you guys have a West Coast hardcore punk rock episode. Specifically, Black Plague would be awesome. I know you've touched on it a little bit with Mike Watt when you did your South by Southwest episodes and your Snubs, Hall of Fame Snubs for Black Flag. So just putting that out there, it's long overdue. But I wanted to share my story. 1980, Monsters of Rock tour that they were doing, they came to, Van Halen was headlining it. They came to Alpine Valley, and my brother, I was 19 at the time. My brother was 16, a couple of our friends, I think we're all between 16 and 19. We drove down from Green Bay, partied there, tailgated a little bit. Somehow we managed to get front row seats to the show. That was back when you could get up at midnight and wait in line and buy tickets. So we're sitting there watching all the shows. Michael Anthony was on our side of the stage. He's playing, and we see this, you know, plastic cup behind one of the speakers, Jack Daniel's bottle next to it, and he kept drinking out of it. And we had always said, you know, does he really drink that much in the show, or is it just for show? Is he just throwing colored water or whatever? At the end of the show, he comes down and hands the cup to my brother. It's almost full. Brother 16, my brother grabs it. He takes one sip of it, and it's straight Jack Daniels. And we had seen him drink this thing, finish the cup at least twice in the show. So he had that much in his system. There's like four or five of us. We're passing the cup amongst us. We all take a sip. We're driving my parents' van back up to Green Bay. My brother, the whole time, is holding this cup hand over it because he didn't want to spill a drop. And this thing sat on his shelf in his room for months. Mysteriously, you know, it evaporates a lot quicker than you'd think, because my dad knew about it, and he's just like, that's fine, you can leave. All right, so I got cut off. I did not think that I was going to pull an Echo Park Jimmy. I mean, I thought I'd be able to whip out my story. But anyway, so my dad knew about this glass of Jack Daniels on the shelf. He said, you just can't drink it until you're 21. And, you know, we just managed to keep taking a few sips along the way, especially if we're heading off to a concert. It was kind of a ritual thing for us. And we just kept blaming it on evaporation. But anyways, so that's the end of my story. Last little confession on my part, I download every day. Unfortunately, I'd love to say I listen to it every day. Dad business, husband business gets in the way. So, you know, you get a Sunday like this and you catch up on your whole week. Your latest series of Cocaine and Rhinestones is awesome. I know a new podcast I'm going to be listening to. So appreciate everything you guys do. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, there you go.
There's a lot there.
That's quite a story, isn't it?
Fantastic. It's really biblical in some sense. Take this cup.
Yes, right.
Share it among me.
That's right. And the idea that, like, you, after they tried it and they knew that it was Jack Daniels, but then it was like, no, preserve this.
Don't chug it. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, they could have just drunk it all right there and not brought it home so the dad would have it. But no, they wanted to save it because it was, you know, this artifact, this keepsake from the show. But then the mysterious evaporation started.
I love that. It's a ritual, a little sip before you go out.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
That is so fantastic.
What a great story. Yeah. And again, you know, we've talked about this a ton, but it just, you know, it reminds me of the fact that, you know, if you were a super fan and you really wanted to go out and like give an effort of staying up all night, you could have an experience like that, right? And nowadays you kind of have to buy your way into it, but you know, whatever.
I'm not sure if you see a band like that today that like you can even get
that close,
yeah. The front row, then it has like a barrier.
Yeah.
And a certain amount of space where, like, the security stands in front of the stage,
A band of that magnitude, I can't imagine walking down and being able to get anywhere near the crowd. Yeah, that's incredible.
I guess I don't know. I mean, I guess sometimes maybe they reach down. I don't know. It just seems like it's probably different today.
Fabulous story.
But it is a great story. Now, what do you also think about West Coast Punk? We should definitely hit that up sometime. Mm-hmm. I know we're both big fans of the SST bands.
Absolutely. So I think there's a lot there we could do. Yeah. Start the planning process.
Okay. Work on that. Yeah. So thank you for that idea, Peter.
Yes, Peter, thank you very much. And don't be a stranger to the Suburban Party Line. And I love it now when people get cut off. The first thing they say is, I just pulled an Echo Park, Jimmy.
Yes. You've heard it a couple of times here in these last couple of days.
He's becoming a verb.
Yes. It has we have like our own little, you know, sort of language now that people have taken. So, and the thing is, when you call, and it's 612-440-1984. When you call, you get 3 minutes is what we've determined is what the machine will take. 3 minutes. And then if it cuts you off after three, then you can do like this. You can pull an Echo Park, Jimmy, and you can call back and just continue the message. But you do have to say that.
You do have to say, or you're not going to get the second half played.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I occasionally will call, and you probably know this, and just weep into the party line, but we never play those.
I just forward those on to your therapist.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so there you go. That's that concludes Fan Mail Week.
Thank you all. I think
we really went out on a high note there.
That's
the story of the Michael Anthony Jack Daniels.
Yeah. That is going into lore.
In fact, am I remembering this correctly? I guess I could look this up. But at one point, didn't Michael Anthony have a bass that was shaped like a Jack Daniels bottle or something?
Maybe. I don't
like
know.
That? Or is that some other rock star?
I don't recall that, but and he had a straw, long straw running down into it. Actually had Jack Daniels in it. If anybody has any information.
Wait, well, when you type into Google, it starts to auto-fill in Michael Anthony Jack Daniels bass.
There you go.
And there's the picture of it. So, yes, it did exist.
Very good. It wasn't just the Jack Daniels talk.
I also wonder if there's a reason why he's not in the band anymore. As you heard people mention, they try to listen
every day
if they can.
But as we said, you know, life gets in the way,
that's
man.
Right. Do what you can. We appreciate any listens you can give us and tell other people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You never know what might happen. One day, maybe you have to clean your mother-in-law's pool. You can catch up.
The rental house. Oh, that was great. Okay. Yes, and that does give you a good opportunity to catch up. Or, you know, you mentioned doing some yard work today.
Raking the leaves, so cleaning up. Yeah.
Getting to be that time of year again. That's a great time to have the headphones on.
There's a lot of cleanup right way to and do. Listen. Mm-hmm. You know, and before too long, we'll probably be back out on the deck. I'm getting excited.
Yeah. If it will ever warm up.
Yeah.
We mentioned the everyday. We mentioned that you can call 612-440-1984. We should also mention you can email rock@suburbspod.com if you prefer that. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram @suburbspod. And we love the feedback and keep it coming on any of the topics that we discuss or anything else that's on your mind. And we'll do more fan mail episodes or potentially weeks in the future. All right. And I guess that's about it, right?
That's about it for the week, I think.
All right.
Thanks, folks.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay, now listen. New Haven, prepare yourself for this pint-sized whiskey-drinking crazy mother right here. Because this man right here is going to take the loudest, the wildest, the most unusual, the most crazy rock and roll bass solo your ears have ever heard in your life. Mr. Michael Anthony!
Van Halen and Indiana geography, folks. That's what you get with Rockin' the Suburbs.